I am a five man of 5'9" with Ward 2. Kira.
Hi, I'm the Black Boros Charm, Maya.
And today we are bringing you even more early access breakdown content. Today's episode is going to focus on the limited environment that Tarkir Dragonstorm is providing for us. So today we're going to talk about limited. We're going to talk about draft, not as much about sealed. I, unfortunately, given how popular this set has been, did not get a chance to play sealed this past pre-release weekend.
I was fortunate enough to play some Two-Headed Giant sealed, and I tell you what, it was a blast.
I can only imagine how good I love Two-Headed Giant. I think Two-Headed Giant is one of the best things about pre-release weekends, especially here in Australia. Our beloved Plenty of Games always runs Two-Headed Giant twice, one on Saturday, one on Sunday of pre-release weekend, and it's the best. It's just the best. Your card pool is so wide. Your ability to play just incredibly busted decks and incredibly busted effects. The key for Two-Headed Giant is any card that says each opponent goes straight into the deck, you don't even question it.
I love how greedy Two-Headed Giant lets you be. It is very much the peak greed limited format. And, you know, that's what I'm here for.
Well, we unfortunately are not talking about sealed and we're not talking about Two-Headed Giant either. We're going to talk specifically about draft. We're going to talk about the limited environment that Tarkir Dragonstorm Draft has to provide. Thanks entirely to Wizards of the Coast for granting us access to Tarkir Dragonstorm Early Access on the Arena client.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much.
We literally would not be able to make this episode without that support. So many, many thanks to Wizards and for their support of us and what we've been doing for Standard. And now we're going to talk about Limited a little bit because I very selfishly wanted to play a bit of Limited for Tarkir Dragonstorm. Now, disclaimer, this is not draft advice. These are draft vibes. This is how it went. This is what it was like. This is what I enjoyed. This is what I thought was crazy. This is not draft advice. I am well known to be a fairly average drafter, I would think. I haven't drafted enough to consider myself good, but I'm not so terrible and I don't understand some of the fundamentals to the point where I would say I'm bad at drafting. I'm going to say mid.
This podcast is, in fact, not Raise the Draft.
New subseries coming soon. So talking about limited, Maya, the craziest thing happened to me. So what's really cool about this early access is you are able to do Premier Draft, which if you've ever played on Magic the Gathering Arena, there are often Premier Draft events and you get put into digital pods with seven other people and you pass packs around the digital table just as you would at your LGS.
True draft.
True, real draft, just digital. And I logged on, beautiful Thursday morning of Tarkir Dragonstorm Early Access, streaming on Twitch for the first time, having the time of my life. I click on, because you can click on the little pod that you're in, and you can see who's passing to you and who you are passing to. And who was in this draft pod with me this morning? But none other than Louis Scott Vargas.
That's some stiff competition.
Intimidating. Intimidating, sitting at the digital draft table with Louis Scott Vargas, a Magic the Gathering Hall of Famer who is notoriously good at drafting.
75%+ Pro Tour win rate for draft. It's crazy.
He is amazing.
He is and arguably the best drafter in the world.
I wish he was here in the studio to tell us about Limited, because then I could say this is draft advice. But you are not getting LSV, you are getting KRT. So let's talk about Limited. The Limited environment is incredible. Coming off of the heels of Aetherdrift Limited, which I found to be quite limiting, let's say, given how many vehicles are in the set, I found that Aetherdrift Limited provided a certain set of obstacles in providing you with enough board presence. Oftentimes, you would have plenty of vehicles with no creatures to crew them with. The limited environment felt a little bit intimidating in Aetherdrift. Contrasted to Tarkir, which is wide, diverse, varied, it differs in playstyle from incredibly aggressive Mardu to over-the-top Teemer to Flurry Jeskai.
To five-colored dragons.
Oh, you're trying to get me to say... You want me to say five-colored dragons, don't you?
I do.
You want me to... and five color dragons.
Thank you.
I said it. But that speaks to the limited environment. Something that we've discussed in our constructed standard episodes is the ways in which three colors in standard is really difficult to support. You are limited by the lands that you have access to. And even in standard's wide array of fast lands, pain lands, surveils, verges, there are so many wonderful two-color resources in standard, yet standard still, at some level, struggles to support three-color decks. However, in Tarkir Dragonstorm Limited, three-color minimum is what I have seen across many different matches against many different kinds of decks, and yes, even five-color. I have played against so many decks that were three-color at a minimum, usually four-color, often five color. And that speaks to an incredibly well-developed color fixing in the set. The set features not only the tapped, not quite triomes of Nomad Outpost, but it also features the gain lands. Provide one of two colors, but they enter tapped and you gain one life. These cards are available in such an abundance, and let's not forget Evolving Wilds. It is so easy in Tarkir Dragonstorm Limited to play three color, four color, and five color. The amount of ramp that is also available in Limited between Roamer's Routine to go search for a basic land and put it onto the battlefield tapped, in Sagu Wildling to go fetch a forest. Encroaching Dragonstorm, and also all of the monuments, the Jeskai Monument, Mardu Monument, all of those which allow you to go fetch a basic land of the color of the clan and put it into your hand. The fixing is, it is beautiful. The fixing is so absolutely incredible, and it allows you to really bend to what's available and to what you open and to what you get past. The limited environment is incredible. Not only in its ability to support three, four, and five color archetypes, but the play styles are so much fun. I, admittedly, very biased in this limited environment. I played a lot of Mardu very intentionally because I found the mobilize ability to be very powerful if you are able to start the engine early. And especially with my favorite card in Limited, Shocking Sharpshooter. 2 mana, 1/3, reach, impact tremors. I cannot talk about how much I love this card enough.
For those who don't know what impact tremors does.
Impact tremors and Shocking Sharpshooter both say, whenever another creature you control enters, this creature in this of Shocking Sharpshooter and this enchantment for Impact Tremors, deals 1 damage to target opponent. I love this card. This card, I drafted the very first premier draft that I did with Louis Scott Vargas in my pod was Mardu. And I had not one, not two, but 3 copies of Shocking Sharpshooter in my Mardu deck. And it was beautiful. I had Shocking Sharpshooter, I had Sinkhole Surveyor, I had every Mardu Devotee, 1 mana Scry 2, gorgeous. I had every possible Mardu card that was good, which is pretty much all of them.
Venerated Stormsinger?
I actually did not have Venerated Stormsinger in my deck. And that could have been for one of two reasons. One, I didn't get past it or didn't open it. And two, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this is the more likely one, I didn't read the card.
Ah.
there's a very high likelihood that I did not read the card properly and didn't realize that it was good. Oops. reading.
Happens.
Again, this is not draft advice. But in that first deck, the absolute standouts were Shocking Sharpshooter, Sinkhole Surveyor, and Duty Beyond Death. I cannot overstate how incredible Duty Beyond Death is.
I'm actually not familiar. What does it do?
It is one and a white, instant. As an additional cost to cast this spell, sacrifice a creature. Creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn. Put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control.
That's a lot of lines of text.
That is a lot of lines of text for a 2-mana instant at uncommon.
That works really, really well with Mobilize.
You can sacrifice one of your Mobilize tokens, which is a 1/1 red warrior creature token. Creatures you control gain indestructible, and you put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. I found that this was the game ender. There were plenty of spots I played this card as a final push because I have a Shocking Sharpshooter, a Sinkhole Surveyor, and a Voice of Victory, and I've got, let's say, six Mobilized tokens in a war effort or what have you. And this pushed the damage over the edge because very often opponents had between 1 and 3 creatures on the battlefield. And I can instantly double my board presence and make them bigger, stronger, and indestructible.
This strikes me as like able to give a pretty big, like, yoo-hoo, big summer blowout kind of moment.
Yes.
Where your opponent aims a removal spell at literally anything. You sacrifice that creature, play this, and they just die.
This card would be a lot worse if it said sacrifice a non-token creature.
This card would be a lot worse if it said sorcery.
Indeed. this card would be worse if it was 3-mana. This card would be worse if it was...
green.
Green. Like, whoa, hang on a second. How dare. I love green cards. This card is awesome. This card and Shocking Sharpshooter are my picks for Mardu. If you have either of these two cards, you should be playing Mardu. Mardu has a highly aggressive slant with a foot forward plan. It is looking to turn sideways at every single turn. Coupled with War Effort, I found War Effort to be an incredibly powerful card in this deck as well. War Effort is a red enchantment for 3 and 1 red. Creatures you control get +1/+0. Whenever you attack, create a 1/1 red warrior creature token that's tapped and attacking. Sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step. So the enchantment essentially has Mobilize 1. The creatures you control get +1/+0 is very vital because your Mobilized tokens are now 2/1s, which is that extra bit more aggressive. Duty Beyond Death makes them 3/2s with Indestructible. That first Mardu deck that I drafted was beautiful. I do think overall, because in Premier Draft, in Early Access, you play up to seven games, and you were only allowed 3 losses before you are removed from contention. And I do believe I went 3-3 with this deck. I am happy with that. That was fine for me. I really like Mardu Unlimited. Like, all of this is to really close out and say I really, really, really like Mardu Unlimited. And there's a card that you mentioned that I actually didn't put in my deck that does very, very well with in the limited environment, and that is Venerated Stormsinger. It is 3 and a black with Mobilize 1. Whenever this creature or another creature you control dies, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life.
It's very silly in 2-headed giant.
Very silly in 2-headed giant and just good in Mardu. Because all of your creature tokens sacrificed at the end step trigger this. You gain life off of them dying, your opponents lose life for them dying.
It's really, really fun to see. I've played a little bit of this limited format, and it feels to me like almost a constructed format with the decks that are present, because you have these like Mardu Aristocrat style deck, which is often not possible in limited because of the high level of synergy that's required. And you also have, like, 5-color mid-range dragons and enchantment-based combo decks and Team of Big Stuff and Jeskai Prowess spells. This format seems incredibly cool and incredibly saturated with high-power, high-interactive gameplay, which is exactly what you want.
Now, something that bears mentioning is that this is a dragon set. Surprise, surprise. The first pack, my first digital pack that I opened in this dream rotation with Louis Scott Vargas was a Mox Jasper.
Ooh.
Throughout my time playing, I did not see a single person play Mox Jasper. Not one. Now, that could be because forcing five color dragons is difficult and your likelihood of opening a Mox Jasper after you've already forced five color dragons is low. Or it could be that the utility of Mox Jasper isn't there in the limited environment. I have a hard time believing that a Mox isn't good. Mox typically are quite powerful, but I didn't see it.
The issue in my mind with Mox Jasper in a limited environment is when, because five color dragons is the deck you would play it in, but what does it actually do in that context? In order for Mox Jasper to be good, you have to have a dragon in play, which means that you've already achieved the goal that Mox Jasper is trying to get you to. The only limited deck I could see where that is, where Mox Jasper is a reasonably playable card, is a high density dragons deck that's trying to pump out a Stormscale Scion, where the zero mana spell is where the value lies and not in the mana that's being generated, because otherwise, so much of the time, it is just a dead card in your hand.
I didn't play it. For obvious reasons, largely being that I was Mardu and I did not have a single dragon in my deck.
And Trent literally begged you.
And Trent said, please, for the love of God, don't take it. Don't do it. But let's talk about other cards that are good. Yureni, the Song Unending, is great. This is a 5 and teamer, so 5, green, blue, red. It is an 8 mana dragon with flying and protection from white and black. It is a 10-10. When Yureni enters, it deals X damage, divided as you choose, among any number of target creatures and or planeswalkers your opponents control, where X is the number of lands you control. At a minimum, it is an 8 mana 10-10 that deals 8 damage across your opponent's board, which, depending on who you're up against and what they've done, is their whole board. When I saw this card played, my opponents usually had more than 8 lands, and so it was dealing 11 or 12 damage. Tarkir Dragonstorm Limited is grindy. If it is not fast with Mardu, and it's not fast with Mobilize, because some of those matches were quick, but when it's not, it is grindy. It is a very long, very persistent gameplay. And Yureni makes that incredible. Most of your removal spells are white and black. And so this, with protection from those colors on a stick, fantastic.
It bears mentioning as well that it really does change how you have to value cards, with the understanding that a lot of decks are actually capable of getting to 8 mana. Because for many of the recent Magic sets, that just hasn't been true. Could you ever get to 8 mana in Bloomborough Standard? How about Murders at Karlov Manor? Even Outlaws, with Abzan being overwhelmingly the best deck, you were rarely getting to that incredibly high saturation of lands, but it is eminently possible in Tarkir Dragonstorm, which means cards like Yureni and cards like Death Begets Life, which is a card that in a lot of formats would be, you know, an absolute F, have a like reasonable argument to be played, which is crazy. That's such an exciting thing for a draft environment. And it harkens back to me, my old bones, to the old Khans of Tarkir Standard, where there were these like big splashy decks. The five color deck in that format was Morphs, and it was grindy, it was beautiful, the games would go late. I love this format. I think it's going to be sick, and you should actually think about the 8-drops that are rocking up in your deck, because there is a higher chance than normal that you are going to be able to cast them.
Yureni was really, really fantastic. Stormplane Detainment is a fantastic card in Limited.
What does it do?
Stormplane Detainment is a 2 and a white enchantment. When this enchantment enters, exile target non-land permanent and opponent controls until this enchantment leaves the battlefield.
I don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't hit Yureni. Gotta be bad.
Well, look, not everyone has a Yureni, but the number of times that this card, just as a nice piece of, not removal, but exile.
It's removal.
It wrecked me. Absolutely wrecked me. Because there are
How much enchantment hate are you playing?
Well, look, there's actually not too much enchantment hate in Limited. There's Undergrowth Leopard. There is Heritage Reclamation. I think that's it. So it's a fantastic piece of removal, and it also, Static Snare as well, also a great piece of removal because it does much the same thing with a discount. Stormplane Detainment, fantastic and limited. Static Snare, fantastic and limited. Voice of Victory, wonderful, because it prevents your opponents from casting spells on your turn. And again, because we're in this early access, start of the limited environment, people still aren't 100% familiar with the cards. There was a game or two where my opponent passed back to me, clearly intending to do something on my turn, either counter my spells or kill my creatures, and my Voice of Victory goes, no, 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 no. You had your chance. Now it's my turn.
So just to clarify what Voice of Victory does.
Voice of Victory is a 2-mana creature. It is a 1/3 with Mobilize 2. And its ability...
Sorry, did you say 2-mana 1/3 with Mobilize 2?
It is a 2-mana 1/3 with Mobilize 2.
Holy...
And your opponents can't cast spells during your turn. If it was just a 2-mana 1/3 with Mobilize 2, it would be good.
That's crazy.
But it's a 2-mana 1/3 with Mobilize 2 and a... Grand Abolisher effect? Like, it's fantastic. It is a very, very, very good card.
That one's one to watch out for in Eternal Constructed well. That and the... What's the Clarion, the dragon, 2 and a white?
Clarion Conqueror is a 2 and a white, 3/3, flying dragon. Activated abilities of artifacts, creatures, and planeswalkers can't be activated.
Keep your eyes out for hate bears, folks. They're a-coming.
They're hate dragons now. They're not hate bears. They're hate dragons. Corroding Dragonstorm. Wonderful. In limited. Corroding Dragonstorm. 2-minute enchantment. When this enchantment enters, each opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. Surveil 2. When a dragon enters, return this enchantment to its owner's hand.
I think it is worth noting that I think this card needs at least 1 dragon in your deck to be good. I think playing it outside the capacity to get it back once is probably not good enough in how powerful this format is. But if you can get it back once or twice, all of a sudden the value of this card goes through the roof.
Iridescent Tiger. Very good limited card. Iridescent Tiger, 4 and a red. Cat. Meow. When this creature enters, if you cast it, add Wooburg. This, along with all of the ramp and mana fixing, makes 5-color good stuff, good in Tarkir Dragonstorm Limited. The ability to essentially get back all of the mana that you just spent to cast it, amazing. This is a Peregrine Drake.
Yes.
Not quite the same, obviously, as a Peregrine Drake, but replaces the mana that you lost. Obviously, you need something specific with the colors that are being generated. It is Wooburg, but free spell. Overall, I found the strongest archetypes either that I played or that I played against to be Mardu, Temur, and Sultai. I found that, by and large, the weakest was Jeskai. More often than not, the ability to activate Flurry was hard, if not often impossible. The need to be able to cast 2 spells on your turn or on your opponent's turn, I found hard to support. There were not a lot of good blue, white, or red cards that were at instant speed or even were beneficial enough to cast on your turn to cast 2 spells twice to activate Flurry. I found Jeskai very much lacking in the limited environment. Now, I did also see at pre-release, at POG, people playing Jeskai and doing fairly well with it. Sealed, different than draft in a lot of ways. The cards that you open also having a huge impact on the effectiveness. But rarely, if ever, did I see come up against someone playing Jeskai. And the moments that I did, they didn't do well. In the moments that I played Jeskai, I forced Jeskai in a quick draft, did not go well, rarely able to activate Prowess, and also, unfortunately, the rares that I had opened weren't fantastic. It's a hard group of colors, it seems, in a limited environment. I'm curious to see how it takes to construct it, because Jeskai Convoke has historically been tier 2, tier 3 for a fairly long period of time now. I'm curious to see how cards like Cori Steel Cutter, and for those who are unfamiliar, Cori Steel Cutter is one in a red artifact equipment. Equipped creature gets +1/+1 and has haste and trample. It has flurry. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, create a 1/1 white monk creature token with prowess. You may attach this equipment to it, and it has equip 1 in a red. I'm curious how cards like this will fit into a Jeskai Convoke shell in Constructed. But, again, in Limited, I found the archetype lacking. It was very difficult to consistently have enough cards in hand to trigger flurry every single turn, because that is 2 cards per turn, once you've already committed to the board. The likelihood of having enough cards in hand just seemed very slim to me.
It feels to me like the Jeskai deck suffers from a lot of the issues that your historical, like, blue-red spells decks suffered from in Draft, which is you have to be playing some amount of cheap and thus relatively ineffective spells in order to get that flurry trigger. And it forces you to play off tempo, and in a format with such a high, like, power value on all the cards, as in, sorry, not like power, toughness power, but where every single card in the set is doing so much, having to be forced to play suboptimally in order to generate value is just, it's not where you want to be as a deck, especially a deck that is very clearly tempo oriented.
There are, in blue, 5 one-mana spells. That's good, but it's not great. Because the cards that are one mana aren't helping you do much to impact the board. You are largely just trying to trigger flurry. And I find that those weaker spells aren't enough to make the ability good. I found Jeskai to be quite lacking. I found it to be the weakest of all of the clan colors, especially when it comes up against Mardu, especially when it comes up against Teemer Big Stuff, when it comes up against Sultai with lots of Death Touch and Graveyard Shenanigans. It just doesn't do enough. This is not draft advice, but this is very much how the archetype felt. It's how it felt to play, and it's how it felt to play against. Playing against someone who had drafted Jeskai and was struggling to activate Flurry even once did not feel good. Because you know what the game plan is supposed to be, and you're watching them flounder.
The interesting part is the payoffs do feel like they're there. The cards that have Flurry written on them seem relatively strong. Mini Lightning Helixing your opponent, very good. Drawing a card, very good. Creating a 1/1 bird, very good, very efficient, very tempo positive. It is just that having to play at sorcery speed and play off tempo, or play cards that are worse but at instant speed, is a sacrifice that feels too great at the moment.
Most of those one mana blue spells are enchantments. They're auras. And so that is a huge limiting factor. Like you said, they're not instant speed. You can't threaten to activate Flurry to make, you know, if the Flurry ability grants +2/+0 when on your second spell, if it makes another 1/1 white monk creature token, the threat is not enough. There are plenty of other cards in this limited environment where the threat is enough. The threat of it is incredible, actually.
Ureni?
Ureni being one of them. But anything with Death Touch, like the Avenger of the Fallen. You put an Avenger of the Fallen on the field, you've got 6 cards, and you've got 6 creature cards in your graveyard. You've got a 2/4 with Death Touch staring at me, threatening to make 6 more 1/1s. That's a threat. That's scary. That is threatening to do something imminently. The threat of Flurry was not enough. The threat of Flurry was never enough for me. All of that being said, the limited environment is great.
It's
fun. It's got wide archetypes. The clan colors each do interesting things. Sultai counters and Reanimator, Mardu Mobilize, Jeskai Flurry, Teemer Big Stuff, Abzan Midrange. They're all really interesting.
5-color dragons.
Seriously, I do not discount the ability to play 5-color. Yes, it's Tarkir. Yes, the clan colors are important. The clan colors are well supported within the set, don't let that stop you. If you open two bomb mythics across five colors, again, if you're across Abzan and Mardu, do it. If they are the best cards in your deck in this limited environment, go for it. Limited to me is the place to have fun. Limited is the place to have fun within a set. Do it. I want to play one draft where I force five color because it feels good and it doesn't feel like there is much punishment for it in the same way that there has been punishment for trying to go wider on your colors in a limited environment that really only supports one or two colors.
Just a note, if you would like to win draft, don't force anything.
This is not draft advice. If you're planning to win, you can go listen to people who are better at drafting than me.
That's fair.
But if you like Tarkir and you like having fun, have a seat with me at the pod. I hear Louis Scott Vargas might join. All of this is to say, I am so excited because the limited environment is so different to Aether Drift. The limited environment is exciting, it's fun, it's different, it's dragons. I am having a wonderful time. I hope you're having a wonderful time. I hope all of our listeners are getting to enjoy I hope you enjoyed pre-release. If you went to your LGS, I hope you enjoy FNM. This episode will be coming out on a Friday, so hopefully you listen to this in the morning and you take what information and advice from it you will. And you ignore what you won't. And you go to your LGS for Tarkir Draft. And I hope you have a wonderful time. I hope you enjoy the format as much as I'm enjoying it. I'm planning to play on Friday. I will be forcing Mardu because it's fun.
And I hope you get to play Five Color Dragons.
It's been fantastic. Again, a huge thanks to Wizards for giving us early access and for giving us a chance to experience this firsthand and for giving us the chance to bring this information back to you, relay this back to you after we've had a chance to draft a little bit. We've played in these limited environments. Thank you so much to Wizards. We're very excited to come back for the next one. And we hope that you get to have some fun in Tarkir Limited as well, dear listener. With all that said, that's all we've got for you today. We look forward to seeing you again next week. New episodes release on Mondays at 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Until then, you can keep track of all of our releases at RaiseMTG on both Instagram and Blue Sky. You can find me on the same platforms at kirabobira.jpg on Instagram and kirabobira across all other platforms. You can find Maya at MayaMTG. A big thank you to the State Library of Victoria for the ongoing use of their space. And until next time, remember, Eskig and his companion stood watch, the sight's the step, a constant inspiration.